Morning, brothers and sisters. Let's pray to our Father together. Our Father, we come before you today, and I pray that your name would be hallowed in our midst today. I thank you that you give us your Spirit to teach us all things. And I am weak, and my mind and my mouth are feeble. But I ask that as we open your word, your Spirit would open our eyes to see the wonderful things right here before us. I pray that we would taste and see that you are good, that we would see your Son as beautiful and worthy of our worship. Please give us the grace to know and love you more. And I ask these things in the name of your Son, who is our advocate before you. Amen. You, my friend, each one of us was created to know and love God. I want you to think back to the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve and lived in the garden with them. They knew one another and they enjoyed perfect fellowship with God. But as you know, they soon disobeyed and they broke that relationship. But the story of the Bible is one where instead of allowing us to dissolve into chaos and hatred and remain dead in our sins, God gives us life. He gives us Himself. And so because of that, we can look forward to that day described in Revelation 21, when the dwelling place of God will once again be with man. He will dwell with us and we will be his people. God himself will be with us as our God. And that is what we hope for as we live each day. God's word tells us the story of how this happens, with the Old Testament unfolding this plan, starting with a promise from God in Genesis 3:15 to conquer evil and bridge the gap between a holy God, one who is light, and a sinful, rebellious people, those who are walking in darkness. The New Testament authors continue with the story, telling us of the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And this person is life, and this life is the light that we so desperately need. And when we receive this person, God gives us the right to become his children. And so as we open up 1 John today, I want you to be thinking on these things in this context. John, a disciple of Jesus, probably in his old age, writes this epistle from Ephesus to churches in that area. And he begins by explaining that he is proclaiming the word of life. He proclaims eternal life in Christ Jesus. This is the same Christ who was foretold in the Hebrew Old Testament, the same Christ who the gospel writers depict, and the same Christ whose teaching the apostles carry on in their writings. John is proclaiming a message of true eternal life. And so before we look directly into the book of 1 John, I want to take just a few minutes to talk about the first few verses and point out how he emphasizes the source of this wonderful message and a few results that come from hearing and believing this message. The source of this message is, of course, Jesus Christ himself. John starts by reminding readers that this is he who was from the beginning. But the absurdity of this first verse is that he who was from the beginning, who of course is God, became flesh, so that John and others could touch him and see him and hear him. It seems like John is writing to believers that are starting to be led astray by false teachers who are claiming that Jesus did not actually come in the flesh. But John, an eyewitness, responds, "No, I saw him. I heard him. I touched him." Friends, if God did not assume human flesh, he could not save a sinful humanity. He could not be the propitiation for our sins. He could not be an advocate for us before the Father. So John starts off this epistle by telling us why we listen. We listen because the Son of God himself came down in the flesh to manifest the Father and proclaim this message to us. And a result of this message is that when we listen and believe, we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with other believers. That fellowship that humans lost after the fall. Another result we see is that when we readers hear and believe this message, John's joy and the joy of those who receive this message, us, it increases. And you know what this is like. Having a message or a story that's just so great that you need to share it with someone. Or sometimes that happens with a person. We meet a person and we just want to introduce them to everyone we know. My parents and my younger brother live in Germany, but they're back in the U.S. for about a year now, and I think they'll be around campus some, and I would love for many of you to meet them because I think they're awesome. In fact, this past Sunday, they were able to come to church with me, and after the service, I was running around trying to introduce them to a bunch of people. See, I love my parents and my brother, and I love these people in my church family, and so it brought me great joy to see them finally meet. And I think that's kind of like what's happening here. While there's some debate about whether John originally wrote, "Our joy is fulfilled," referring to him and probably the other apostles, or whether he wrote, "Your joy," referring to readers, both of these options make sense in the context of 1 John. See, John has experienced true fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with other believers, and he proclaims this message so that when those who hear the message believe, they join in that fellowship. And so John's joy increases, but so does the joy of those who believe and have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Throughout the rest of the book, John depicts the picture of the true Christ so that we may love him and have fellowship with him. And then at the end of the letter, John reminds readers that Jesus Christ is the true God and the eternal life, and he exhorts them to keep themselves from idols. And at first, this might seem like a surprising way and maybe a random way to end the letter. But think about it. When we know and believe the truth about Christ, and we have fellowship with the Father and with his Son and with other believers, then our joy is complete. And the idea here is that we were created to know and love God. And so if we're not fellowshipping with God and with other believers, we're settling for something less fulfilling than God himself. And we're worshiping an idol. We need to seek God himself. And friends, I'm so thankful for how God has been working this week and what we've been learning at Bible conference and even how that ties into some of what John is communicating in this book. If you remember that on Tuesday, Dean and Sarah, he challenged us to pursue the kingdom of God and pursue Christ above everything else. And that is a message that we so desperately need to hear. In John's day, these believers that he was writing to were struggling to believe that Jesus had really come in the flesh. And I don't think most of us here in this room really struggle to believe that. I think for us, the greater struggle is to believe that life in Christ is truly most satisfying. See, we don't prioritize Christ in our life because we don't see him as worthy of being first, as worthy of being our king. And we don't seek the kingdom of God because sometimes, if we're honest, maybe his kingdom just doesn't seem that great. But when we understand and remind ourselves constantly and start to see what eternal life means, what Christ offers to us, then it becomes easy, and I would even say natural, to seek Christ and his righteousness above all else. So my prayer for myself is that I would be content, satisfied, happy in Christ alone. Not in my circumstances, not in a relationship, not in my grades, not in my possessions. And this type of fulfillment is only possible because I am in him who is true, in his son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and the eternal life. And because of that, I fight to keep myself from idols because I know that that would be settling for something less. And that's my prayer for this campus, that we would maximize our joy to the fullest by abiding in true and loving fellowship with God and with his children, our brothers and sisters, instead of settling for something less. And so now, as we hear from God's word in 1 John, I'd encourage you to close your Bibles and just listen and try to hear for some of these themes that we've just talked about. In his letter to the believers, John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same manner in which he walked. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might be complained that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us: eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. but as his anointing teaches you about everything, and it is true, and there's no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of God. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever does not know God does not listen to us. By this you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves God loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, for he has not believed the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he should ask, and God will give him life to those who commit sins that do not lead to death. All wrongdoing is sin, but there's a sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, for he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and the eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. I thank you that through your Son, we may have fellowship with you and with other believers, and that by doing so, our joy may be complete. I pray that we would come to grow and understand that your Son is the true God and the eternal life, and that we would keep ourselves from idols. We ask these things in the name of your Son. Amen. You guys are dismissed.